Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hour two, Henry Lake in for Jason DeRussia. I swear that we'll get to some sports takes here shortly. Jace Frederick from the St. Paul Pioneer Press will talk high school hoops and Timberwolves coming up next segment. Then after that, directly after Jace, we'll talk to Andy Greeter from the Pioneer Press as well. Some NCAA hoops, and also he covers Minnesota United. So we got back-to-back guests talking, plenty of sports here on The Good Neighbor. But I did want to get to something that I teased right before the top of the hour break. And I just don't understand it. It's the quote, if Donald Trump can be indicted, then we all can. That sentiment has to be the dumbest talking point in America right now. It has to be. And I just don't understand it. Like, I know that people want to play the game and the rhetoric is just out of this world. But when you start sitting down and thinking about just everyday us as human beings and as citizens in this country, I think that everybody understands and should look in the mirror and say that every life by everyone should be valued and that we should all be held to the same standard, okay, when it comes to being held accountable. And I think that when you make a comment like that or you echo that sentiment, you're being delusional about the current situation of what we're dealing with in this country. I should not be allowed to get away with something versus Dan Cook. Dan Cook shouldn't be allowed to get away with something versus Jason DeRussia. Like, this is not how any of this should be working. Like, when we talk about anything that arises of a criminal nature, and we talk about accountability, then everybody's got to deal with their situation, okay? But I just find it odd that we want to elevate certain people and say, and try to utilize them to, I guess it's just to galvanize and to make people fearful and be like, it's almost like the new, well, they're coming for your guns. Who's coming for your guns? Who wants your guns? I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't have an issue with the fact that we have all of these shootings and all these situations with ARs and stuff like that, and there shouldn't be something done about that. But no, I'm not. I'm not against the Second Amendment. I've never had an issue that way. Do I think that we can improve our situation in this country and with gun control? Absolutely. But just throwing this stuff up against the wall and thinking that people should buy into that is utterly ridiculous. If Donald Trump has done something and it is not of the nature of where he should be held accountable in a court of law and should not be indicted or whatever, then that's one thing. If he is, that's a different thing. And that's the standard for anybody out there. I mean, What would be the difference between dealing with Donald Trump in a certain way as opposed to Michael Cohen? I mean, there are people that said, what was it? What do we have? What was it? How many years ago was it now? Lock her up. Lock her up. Lock her up for what? Are the same people that were yelling lock her up, are these the same people talking about we're going to get in the streets if you try to indict our guy? Is that really what you're saying? Lock him up, Dr. Fauci. Lock him up for what? People, when you come across with these type of hot takes, it's the tell. It's the massive tell. You're letting everybody in on the joke that's on you because it makes no sense. I would never, ever try to elevate my life in what I do and who I am over anybody else. I'm just a guy. Now, I get it. I maybe have a job that's perceived as cool, that perceived as having some influence. I can talk and impact, you know, people's conversations, and I can walk into and get into rooms that maybe an average person doesn't get into. I understand all of that. But at the end of the day, I could never be this guy, Dan Cook. I could never be this guy. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am? I could never be that guy. Those are the worst people that think that they're better than somebody else. So please, and it's just at the end of the day, whether you're a Trump supporter or not, having that sentiment that everybody's can be gotten if this can happen, that's the point, though, is that all of us should be held for what we do. We should be held accountable for what we do. That is the entire point. So when you say that, you come across as being silly and not educated, because that is the point, that in the United States of America, we all should be held accountable for the things that we do.
You're right in the sense that, you know, for the people that are screaming that this is a political prosecution, well, yeah, of course it is. Everything surrounding the former president is going to be political. There's no way to have a prosecution that's not political. So, but for the people saying that it's a political prosecution, while you, like you pointed out, they spent, you know, how many years chanting lock her up for his political opponent at the time, there is a hypocrisy there. And there's also a practical element to it, I believe, where if you have it, right, this is like prosecuting the mob. You got to have it, right? If you don't have lockdown evidence, and right now we're staring at the two main witnesses being a guy who's been convicted of lying and a former adult film star. These are your two star witnesses. Maybe there's other evidence out there. We obviously don't know. The grand jury knows better than we do.
Yep.
But I'm saying, if you're going to do this, if you're going to go down the road of, for the first time ever, indicting a former president of the United States, you better have it.
Yep.
Otherwise, you feed into this narrative that this is just purely political and they're trying to stop him from running and all this stuff.
But I think that what we're going to run into, and it's not going to end here with New York.
No.
It's going to be the same sentiment. We're going to hear this for Georgia.
Yep.
We're going to hear this wherever there's something that's going on with a former president.
For Georgia, for the special counsel.
I mean, yep.
There's far more political or far more criminal justice problems that are headed the former president's way. No question. But at the same time, the same standard should apply to all of those, right?
Absolutely.
If you have it.
If you got
okay,
it, you got it. If you
but
don't.
You better have it. If you're just pushing this because you don't like the guy and there's something here that doesn't smell right.
Agreed.
You know, then we're wasting people's time and we're feeding a false narrative.
Agreed. I'm totally with you. All right, coming up next, let's talk some high school basketball, get some updates on who potentially is going to be the team that will be cutting down the nets and winning the state titles, as well as talk some Timberwolves basketball with Jace Frederick from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. He joins us next here on The Good Neighbor. An hour and 20 minutes in, and now we finally have our first guest and first sports topic. I know so many people on the text line that talk sports. Sick of you and his politics and what's going on. Jace Frederick, St. Paul Pioneer Press. He joins us now here, courtesy of the John Schuster Gold Baker Highlight. Did you like my angry old man voice there, right there, Jace?
I did. I like the whole introduction, personally. But but the angry man voice was spot on.
How you been, man?
Pretty good, dude. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Hey, before we get to Wolves, I did want to get your take and just maybe your thoughts on, so far this year, the Boys State basketball tournament, from what you've seen and from what you've covered, I know that we're getting down to it in terms of the championship Saturday, but I know that, and I just saw a little bit of highlights from yesterday, Wayzata ended up knocking off Lakeville North. They were up a bunch, and then Lakeville North came charging back and made it a close game, but Wayzata ended up winning that game, and they'll be facing they'll be facing Park Center, and Park Center's trying to run it back. Coach James Weir, they're trying to, you know, win back-to-back state titles. But just kind of your thoughts. Let's start with the 4A.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's a rematch of last year's title game, which was highly entertaining between Park Center and Wayzata. I think Park Center won by like five. And they're just two really well-coached teams. They play slightly different styles, and that Wayzata runs a really kind of a spread offense look. And they've got a guard in Hayden Tibbetts who can break things down, and they've got a lot of shooters. And Park Center is just so athletic, so long, like they've got a bunch of guys who are very physical defensively and just really dominate that end of the court, and that leads to offense. And it was fun to watch Park Center and Eastview in yesterday's semifinal because it was two very similar teams with just athletic 1 through 5 and really strong defensively and just make a bunch of really sound plays. And like, honestly, like the two teams have been great, Park Center and Wayzata, and whoever wins is going to be a deserving champion. But I think like people talk about the growth in Minnesota high school basketball, and yeah, we talk about the talent at the top, but I think the biggest thing is like the fourth and best players on any team are like really skilled and they're great and they can pop off for 20 points. Like just the pure depth that these teams have of like highly skilled impact players is like next level on it and a pretty big jump even from what I saw 4 or 5 years ago.
All right, so now in the 3A, is the championship game, is that going to be Totino Grace and De La Salle?
Yes. Yep.
All right, so tell me a little, because I haven't seen Totino Grace. I've heard a lot about them. I heard that they're really strong. And then I know the Chapman kid is going to Ohio State. What have been your thoughts about Totino Grace? And I know that Nazir Whitlock has been phenomenal for De La Salle, and because his dad was a baller. I haven't seen him play, but I know his dad was a really strong guard many years ago.
Yeah, Whitlock he's been fantastic this year, obviously going to Lehigh. And yesterday, like, he delivered a couple bursts that really were kind of the difference. Like, De La Salle's defense was phenomenal, and that is a big reason as to why they knocked off 4-0. But, like, Whitlock had a couple just bursts of scoring in that game in which he looked kind of unguardable and were kind of the difference, created that separation on the offensive end that De La Salle really was all they needed to pull away. Like, Whitlock's a really good player. I think Lehigh's getting a really good talent there. Totino, like, you talked about Taysom Chapman going to Ohio State. I think something that surprised me more is, and Totino's got a bunch of guys who can score, so maybe this is kind of what's played into it, but Chapman has been a really great playmaker, and I think even from talking to people who watched the section final, that was the case there too, but I think like 9 assists and 1 turnover yesterday, so like 12 points, and you might be like, oh, Ohio State commit, I expect more than that, but he's done a great job just kind of leading their show and just directing the offense and creating for others. I've been very impressed with him in that regard.
Talking to Jace Frederick from the St. Paul Pioneer Press here, Henry Lake in for Jason DeRussia. This is Drive Time with DeRussia. All right, a couple other things I wanted to get to because I didn't see any of this, but I'm just kind of seeing some of the scores and stories now. Russell Tyler Ruthin, they beat Cherry for the spot in the 1A boys basketball final. And I know that they have the kid that's that committed to the U, right, the Zuma kid?
Yeah, yep, and so I haven't seen any of their games in Class A, but from what I've heard, like, Zuma, like, in their quarterfinal, I don't know what he did today, but in their quarterfinal, he was in foul trouble for the majority of the game, and Cherry last year was almost entirely him, and this year they've had a couple kids come into the program and really kind of supplement it, and so now there's a little bit more depth of talent, of scoring ability, but Russell Tyler Ruston's been really good all year, and not surprising, I think, that they were able to hold them off, but Cherry certainly has a lot of high-end talent.
And just to finish it off, do we know who's in the do we know who's battling for the 2A title?
Yeah, so New Life Academy just beat Spring Grove pretty handily in the second semifinal, and New Life Academy suffered a heartbreaker in the semis last year, and so now they're into the final, and they've got a kid who's going to walk on for the Gophers, 6'8", Eric Reeder, and he's just been dominating this tournament with his size. Like, I think he grabbed something like 15 rebounds today, posted a pretty gaudy rebounding number in their quarterfinal win as well. Like, New Life is just dominating the glass in this tournament with their size. I think they held Spring Grove to like 28% shooting today. So that's a team that wins with defense and rebounding, and Reeder kind of leads the charge there. And so he'll be somebody who, you know, will be a big like practice and probably end up the bench piece for the Gophers. And hey, if you can have a 6'8" guy doing that, that does not hurt at all.
And it's always fun to see champions crowned when we talk about high school basketball. Let's turn our attention to the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're back in action on Sunday. They've got a big-time game against the Golden State Warriors. I don't want to say it's a must-win, but if you're talking about working your way out of the seventh spot into the top six, you just got to win games. And there's no time to waste. You get Cat back. A couple of nights ago, he hits the game-winning free throws. Is your thought about where the Wolves are at this late in the season?
I mean, I don't think you can emphasize the importance of the Golden State game enough. This is the team that is sixth in the West, right now, has the final non-play-in position. And Minnesota's one game back. The Warriors play Philly. And so we win or lose of that game, even if they lose it. Now Minnesota's a half game back. The important thing is, if Minnesota loses to Golden State, you drop another loss there, and you lose the tiebreaker. And where if you win that game, you even up the season series, and then it goes to Western Conference record, and Minnesota has a decent path to winning that tiebreaker over Golden State. Like, so the chances of getting out of the play-in skyrocket with a win over Golden State, but I think that possibility is almost dead if you do not win that game. So, like, yeah, the one in Sacramento is big on Monday too, but like that game against Golden State, you can circle it. Both teams will probably be pretty healthy for that game. Like, that is a must win, I think, if Minnesota does not want to be in the play-in.
What was your opinion of the return of Karl-Anthony Towns a couple of nights ago? What did you think of his game?
I thought it was really sharp. I'm much sharper than I would have expected as far as like the skill, the shooting, the touch. There was not many signs of rust. Like, you can tell he was definitely winded. He played 26. He said it felt like 35. I think you and I noted, like, it was like four or five times up down the court. He looked kind of gassed. He was taking some deep breaths, but it didn't affect really the quality of his play. I thought even defensively it was pretty good effort, like the high walls and the pick and roll scheme. So, you know, probably a little bit like less in the flow his offense was than Chris Finch would have liked, but that's to be expected as he works his way back. I was worried about it being more of a hindrance or more of like a disruption, and it wasn't that, because he really, you know, his jumper was falling, he was spacing the floor, he was another weapon for them to turn to, especially late. Like, I think it was pretty dang good for somebody who'd missed the last 4 months.
Yeah. Hey, Jace, man, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, that's Jace Frederick from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Give him a follow on Twitter, but more importantly, check out his fine work for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. All right, coming up next, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Andy Greeter, some NCAA hoops. Also, Minnesota United with a really nice start to their season. That next, Henry Lake in for Jason DeRusha.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm just trying to figure this all out. All right, welcome back. Drive Time with DeRusha. Henry Lake in for Jason on this Friday. Hope that everybody's enjoying this Friday. 41 degrees out. I'll take it. I like it a little bit warmer. We'll get there. I mean, baseball starts next week. Thursday, first pitch, 3:10, Kauffman Stadium, Minnesota Twins. I will be there because I'll be in Kansas City all week long. I'll be broadcasting from Kansas City, so I look forward to diving into some warmer weather. But let's talk plenty of things with Andy Greeter from the St. Paul Pioneer Press right now. I definitely wanted to talk to him about the NCAA tournament, also Minnesota United Soccer. But he's got a breaking story that's posted on the website, TwinCities.com, for the Pioneer Press. Gophers defensive tackle Trill Carter enters the NCAA transfer portal. So, Andy, let's start there. Just kind of walk us through this situation with the Gopher football team.
Yeah, so Trill Carter is the 15th player since late November to leave the program. Most of them leaving via the transfer portal. And, you know, it's all different reasons, right? I think Trill Carter is one of the most surprising ones because he is a projected starter. He was the honorable mention Big Ten player, and it's going to be a loss for them to lose a player of his experience. They've lost other starters. They've lost role players. They've lost guys that they've brought in replacements for already. They've lost guys that they probably shouldn't have been at the Power 5 level in the first place. So there's a whole bunch of reasons for it. But yeah, 15, it's a big number. They've added six through the transfer portal, and they feel like On3 Recruiting Service kind of did like a weighing of departures and additions and said the Gophers are actually coming out ahead and have a top 25 transfer recruiting class in those six guys and feel like they're upgrades over the 15 that are leaving. But the revolving door that is the transfer portal continues to spin.
Well, what do you think? Is there something going on, though? Like, is there – I'm not trying to blame anybody because kids are going to leave for different reasons. But, man, PJ, it seems like for the last few years, kids have always enjoyed playing for PJ. But is there something percolating?
I mean, I don't think so. You know, I don't have the numbers in front of me. But it's pretty typical that teams have this type of turnover. It's not something that's a crazy high number that you would say, you know, there's this mass exodus going on. You know, it's kind of the sign of the times, right? I mean, everybody feels like there's the opportunity for the grass to be greener on the other side. And, you know, PJ runs a very demanding program. And I'm not suggesting that Trill got in trouble, but I know that in the past, guys that don't follow the high standards that they have find themselves leaving soon after. And that's been the case earlier this year. So, you know, it's all across the board. Like I said, there's guys like Braylon Oliver who want to go home to Georgia. He goes to Georgia Tech. There's guys like, you know, Michael Dixon, who sees himself as a safety and the Gophers thought he was a nickel and he transfers to Rutgers. And there's guys like Steven Ortiz, who was a highly rated recruit who wasn't finding anything on the depth chart and transfers to UMass, you know, pretty much a step down. So it's, like I said, it's all across the board, different reasons. But the Trill Carter one is a bit of a surprise, and I haven't heard any sort of reasoning with it. You know, obviously NIL comes into all of these conversations these days, and the Gophers have been lagging in that department as well. Those two things are very much intertwined, and the Gophers need to step it up when it comes to name, image, and likeness.
You know, I'm glad that you brought that up, because that was a topic that I talked about a few days ago earlier in the week.
Yep.
And quite frankly, Andy, I am just – I'm a little, I don't want to say that I'm bitter, but I think that the University of Minnesota just has to step their game up, and they have to stop saying openly, because I know you were at the press conference for when they introduced Don Blitzway, that talking about, I think that Mark Coyle had said something along the lines, well, this is new to us, and we're trying to figure this out. Stop talking in that way, because you're coming across as an amateur, and like you don't know what you're doing. And to me, that's off-putting, and you don't want potential recruits hearing it, the language being, you know, used like that. You know, just go ahead and say that, look, we're going to be the best at it. We're going to take care of the athletes that we want to bring in here. We want to do a tremendous job of marketing. Like, that's what I want to hear. Whether you do that is another issue. But no one wants to hear that, well, we're trying to figure this out. Because you know what, quite frankly, there are so many institutions across the country that are trying to figure it out. So if the collective, if they're able to get it done, I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach on it. But my gosh, man, speak like you have some confidence with regards to NIL.
Yeah, I mean, that's really tricky, because there's just no legislation on it, right? There's so much gray area in the rules, and Mark Coyle is a stickler for doing it the right way. And, yeah, I understand your criticism with it, but he's got to toe the line as well. And I think that, you know, there's been more resources being put into NIL, more as we see as time passes. And I feel like the Dinkytown Athletes Collective felt like they had kind of a leg up, and they felt like the U was really trying to be helpful a couple of months ago, and they felt like they had a little bit of an edge over some of their rivals in the Big Ten. But I don't know where that is now. I just know that, you know, they need to have finances in place for players to bring them in and be able to pay them for opportunities to play. Now,
yeah.
You know, there's the paper play aspect of it too, where you're not supposed to pay a player for them to come to your school outright. There's supposed to be an actual exchange of goods or services. And we know that did not be the case with the way some schools operate, but the Gophers are going to be one of those schools that is not going to toe and go over that line into the gray area where it gets murky legally. So there's that issue.
But I'm not saying do the pay for play, and I'm not saying do anything under the table or anything like that. All I'm saying is package how you present it. Because to me, when you talk in the language and the way that they do, it doesn't exude confidence. And to me, it doesn't invite kids to say, I want to be a Gopher. Like, even if you don't have it figured out, right, like, we understand, like, it's kind of new territory. But I don't know. I think there's another way that they can talk about it and kind of spin it, as opposed to kind of saying, like, well, we're not really sure what we're doing. Like, I don't want kids to hear that we don't know what we're trying to do or where we're trying to go.
Yeah, I think that a few things. Number one, let's just use Dennis Evans as an example of the big man that left the program. Dinkytown Athletes had meetings with him and put together a plan to show him how he could make money for the Gophers. So there was, you know, a professional type of approach from the business leaders that run that collective of how they were going to go about things with Dennis Evans. So It sounded like they had their ducks in a row on that one.
Yeah.
The Gophers are adding to their staff when it comes to NIL. They're adding a fundraiser to help generate funds for the collective. They're moving their compliance guy to kind of a liaison to Dickeytown athletes, and they're hiring a new compliance officer. So they're putting more resources into it, and they're trying to build the plane as they fly it.
Talking to Andy Greeter from the St. Paul Pioneer Press here. Henry Lake in for Jason DeRussia on The Good Neighbor. All right, let's talk a little bit about Minnesota United, because I want to talk about them for a couple of minutes. They've had a really nice start to the season. Now, I know that my guy, Dane St. Clair, he stepped away because he's got to do the national team thing. But nice start for an organization that is still without Reynoso. Like, I haven't even heard really an update on what his situation and status is.
Yeah, so they're without Amanda Reynoso, their all-star playmaking most valuable player, who is in Argentina holding out, essentially. And he's been suspended by the league without pay, and they're waiting and hoping that Ray decides to come to Minnesota and join his team that is willing to pay him, I believe it's $2 million this year, which in MLS finances is pretty good money. He's the highest-paid player on the team. They can't really coax him besides not pay him to come. And they can't move on from him because he's such a valuable player for them. So they're very much in a wait-and-see mode, and they've been able to get 7 points, 2 wins, and a draw in their first 3 games. They've had a great start without their best player, and that's because of everyone else stepping up. And it's being more about the collective than one leading player. And now they have 7 players away for international team duty. And Dave St. Clair is one of them. Robin Lood is another. A very long list of key players that they're going to have to be without. And Major League Soccer is not following what other professional leagues do around the world, which is take a break when national teams are playing. And now Minnesota has to put out a very makeshift lineup tomorrow night and play against a Vancouver team that would be without 3 players for their national teams. So it's an unfortunate situation. It's going to be difficult for Minnesota to get a result, to get a win, given those absences, but they're going to try to do it tomorrow night against Vancouver.
All right, final thing for you, Andy, and it's a pretty simple question. Is your bracket as screwed up as everybody else's?
You know what, man? I did not fill one out this year, so I don't have that. I'm just rolling in the full neutral mode, and it's been great, man. Like, that Kansas State-Michigan State game yesterday was so much fun, so electric. Going to overtime, Marquise Noel is just such a little Mighty Mouse type player. It's hard not to root for him. And the way he was able to will K-State to a victory last night was just great theater.
That's fun. Hey, Andy, always a pleasure to have you on the show, my man. Thanks so much for the time, and I'll see you soon.
All right, take care, Lake.
All right, take care. That's Andy Greeter. Check out his fine work for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to wrap up this second hour of Drive Time with DeRussia. It's Drive Time with DeRussia. Jason DeRussia is off today. Henry Lake in for Jason with Dan Cook. Don't forget, remember, subscribe to the podcast on the Odyssey app, Apple iTunes, or on your favorite podcast provider. All right, one thing that I never do with college athletics is I never root against kids. I root for kids. I never root against them. So if I have a squad like that, everybody knows I'm a Jayhawk fan in college basketball. I root for the Jayhawks. I root for all the Gopher teams, whatever. I root for them. Which means if I'm rooting for people that I like and pulling for them, I'm not necessarily rooting against somebody else. It's just, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of a difference in terms of, like, the mindset. But I have to be honest with you. For the first time in my life, I'm actually rooting against a college program. And right now, I am hoping and wishing that the University of Alabama men's basketball team does not win a national championship. And it's all because of the situation that happened this year with the murder of the young lady by the two men that had a disagreement with her, and I guess her and her boyfriend or whatever. The one former player shot and killed her. And then Brandon Miller, who's a star player now, who's going to be a top three pick in the NBA draft. He was never given any punishment, was never given any consequence for what transpired. In his part in it was his former teammate said, look, my weapon, my gun is in your vehicle. I need you to come back because I can't remember the verbiage or what was said, but something about along the lines of, I think this dude has threatened me or something like that. So he made a horrific mistake in that he brought his vehicle back and allowed his teammate to grab the weapon, and his teammate then started shooting, and he killed a woman, okay? When he should have been thinking about it and said, no, man, I don't want to be involved in any of this. This is just leave. I'll meet y'all somewhere else or whatever. Just get out of that situation. He was never suspended at all. And Nate Oakes' coach kind of stood up for him. So I can't root for Alabama. I'm sorry. I can't roll with that. That makes no sense to me. Accountability is key. Laura Oakes, she joins us at the top of the hour, final hour. Henry Lake in for Jason DeRusha.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.